So the title of my presentation is Agronomic, Environmental and Economic Benefit of Site-Specific Nitrogen Management for Maize in Minnesota. And I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. David Mula, and my colleagues. I'm not here, but Tyler is, Tyler here. So I'll give you a little background, and then I will talk about the methodology we used for our research, and then I will share with you some of the preliminary results we have so far. So nitrogen or nitrate pollution is a serious problem in Minnesota, both for surface and groundwater. And you can see the issue is more pronounced or more significant in southern part of the state where there is a lot of corn production. And there's a combination of factors that contribute to this problem. Some of them are controllable, some of them are not. So for example, we have heavy spring rainfall. So there's a lot of rain early in the season before there is a cover crop that can reduce by evapotranspiration, for example. Also in the Minnesota, there is a lot of very fertile, high organic soil. Molly soil and alfie soils are deposited from glacial till. And these soils have very high amount of organic matter, that is 6, 7, 8% organic matter that goes through a lot of mineralization, and that contributes to this problem of nitrate excess in soil when there is a lot of rainfall. There's also a widespread adoption of tile drainage because farmers want to increase the length of the growing season. So that also speeds the process by which nitrate can move from agricultural fields. There's also a lack of a vegetative cover for more than half of the year, and that doesn't help because you don't have a crop that can recycle some of that nitrogen residue in the soil after harvest, for example, after corn harvest or soybean. There's also the area is known for higher yield, and therefore farmers use a lot of nitrogen fertilizer. And I think my research is focusing on this last factor that we think we can control. So there is a asynchrony between the timing of application of fertilizer and the time when the crop needs it. So the objectives of my research are first to study the impact of variable rate nitrogen on yield in southern Minnesota, but we also want to look at the impact of variable rate nitrogen on nitrate leaching. And lastly, we want to look at the return on investment of variable rate nitrogen. So the experimental field is a field located in one of the University of Minnesota research farms in southern Minnesota in Waseca County. And this field is unique because it has a number of subfields that have different drainage intensities. So for my research, I used 8 of them. So this is 1, 3, 4, 5. This one here in the north, they are low intensity drainage. And then we have 6, 7, 8, and 9 that are low intensity drainage. And we used subfield number 2 to develop the site dressing rates. So again, for field 6 and 8, we used the uniform, which is a conventional treatment that is based on EONR. And then for field 3, 5, 7, and 9, we used variable rate nitrogen treatment. And I will explain. So each of these fields, as I said, each of these subfields is unique, that has its own drainage system. And we are able to monitor nitrogen leaching and hydrology. The field are, 3-4 acres in size. So the conventional or uniform treatment is 135 for 2016, because 2016 was corn after soybean, and then in 2017 it was corn after corn, so the EONR was higher, was 180 pound per acre. So the variable rate nitrogen consisted of applying about 30% of the EONR at pre-planting time, and then waiting until V6, V7 to apply the remaining based on proximal sensing. And we used a hybrid, that is a Pioneer hybrid, at a 36,000 population. So to develop the site dressing rate, we used supervised classification based on terrain. So I used topography, LIDAR-based topography, slope, topographic witness index. And then we had mapped the field with EM38. And we also used bare soil imagery and organic matter from an intensive grid sampling, 1 acre grid sampling. And the idea is to develop an response curve, spectral response curve for each zone. So we had 3 zones. So zone 1 is basically the high organic matter area, zone 2 is the low organic matter, and zone 3 is the average of the two. And the idea here is to come up with the optimum rate, spectral optimum rate around V6 for each zone, and then to apply that for the field. So you can see, for example, this is for one zone where we had the optimum around 112 pounds, and this will be the NDVI value. So then we had the NDVI, and we have the rates, but then we want to adjust them with the yield, because at V6 we don't know what's going to happen later after that. We thought if we can use yield data that will capture the long-term history of the field. So we used 3 years of corn yield data that we normalized, and we adjusted the variable rate prescription based on that, and this is the final prescription. So again, this is field 3, 5, 7, and 9, and adjacent to that will be the field 1, 4, will be 6 here, 8 here. So those are the adjacent uniform treatment fields. So then we went and applied the variable rate prescription in each of these 4 variable rate fields around V6, V7 using a toolbar and the Raven controller. And now I'm going to show you some of the preliminary results we have. So we'll start with water quality. So this is from 2016. And in red here are the variable rated plots, or fields, I should say. In yellow are the uniform or conventional treatment based on EONR. And the way you compare these is you compare adjacent fields. So like, for example, 1 and 3. So we can compare 1 to 3. We can compare, for example, 6 to 7. But I'll just do an example. But so, for example, you can see that on average, the uniform plots have higher leaching or nitrate in tile drainage than the conventional plots. And it starts on like around 15 milligram per liter. And in midsummer, it jumps to higher concentration, and then it slows down. It reduces down to lower rate in the fall. And we can see is that high end concentration after rainfall event. So the in blue is the rainfall event. And again, 1, 4, 6, 8 are the uniform, and 3, 5, 7, 9 are the variable rate nitrogen. So plots 6, 7, 8, and 9 are the high intensity drainage. So I know that figure was a little confusing, so I made it, try to simplify it here. So here is the difference between the variable rate nitrogen and the uniform, summarizing all the field together. So on average, we noticed a reduction of 13% in nitrate in drainage following variable rate nitrogen. And this is 2016. Again, it was corn after soybean. And we also looked at the load, total load, so that includes the hydrology here. And we split them into two different intensities. So low intensity, which would be the half inch per day, that's the conventional intensity, and then a higher intensity that is about 2 inches per day. So within each intensity, you can see that the variable rate nitrogen was contributing lower amount of N than the uniform or conventional application of nitrogen. And for 2017, I have some preliminary results here, but we are seeing the same thing. So 2017 is corn after corn. We see that the amount of nitrogen, of nitrate in water is lower in the beginning compared to 2016 when we had corn following soybean. And this is basically this is similar thing that we saw in the soil when we did soil sampling in the early spring of 2016 and 2017. We saw that the soil has higher amount of residual N in 2017 in 2016 compared to 2017, and we see the same thing here. So again, if you compare the plots, like for example 1, 2, 3, we see that the uniform or conventional treatment has higher amount of nitrate in the leachate. Same thing between 4 and 5, and same thing between 6 and 7. The only difference where we don't see that is in field number 9 or site number 9, where we see that the conventional treatment or the VRN, the variable rate treatment, has a higher amount of N. And this field here has the highest amount of organic matter also. It's about 8%, 7, 8% on average. It's a low position in the landscape. So we see here that lower amount of nitrate in 2017 compared to 2016. And then also we see that, yeah, number 9, maybe because of organic matter, we don't see that difference or that improvement following variable rate nitrogen. So now I will talk about the yield. So the way we compared the yield, we looked at the yield, the historical yield, and the contribution of each subfield to the entire yield of the field. And then we looked at, when we do variable rate, do we see an improvement in the contribution of each subfield to the total yield. So in 2016, we saw a slight improvement in field number 13 and field number 7 and field number 9. And we didn't see any change in 3 and 5. We see the same changes in field 7 and 9 in 2017. So this is, again, will be corn after corn. This is corn after soybean. But we also saw a slight depression in field number 3. And field number 3 has the lowest organic matter. So the message here is that variable rate nitrogen didn't really impact the yield, but we were able to reduce nitrogen by 20 to 30%, depending on which field. Then I looked at the return on investment, and the way I did that is I looked at the price, the average price for the year for urea, the average price for applying a variable rate prescription in the field based on co-op prices, and also the price of a prescription, variable rate prescription. So based on these numbers, we see that for the 4 fields, even without taking into account any change in yield, any increase in yield, we have a very high return on investment between 230, I think, to 380. We have slightly higher in 2017 because the EONR was higher, so even that 20% or 25% translates into a higher dollar value. And then, so the take-home message from this research is that variable rate, site resistant V6, reduced nitrogen fertilizer by 25 to 30%, and that there is a high return on investment following variable rate nitrogen in southern Minnesota, and that the impact of variable rate on water quality, there is some interaction between drainage intensity and maybe organic matter in the soil. And thank you. If you have questions.